Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mowing Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 10th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Tyler Glasnow was just so good. Ace is going to ace 14 Ks, golden goal, 48% CSW, leading all starting pitchers this year with the high mark of 48%. It's pretty dang cool. And I just want to say thank you, Tyler, reminding us what a true ace looks like at a time when all of them keep dropping like flies. Here's Tyler Glasnow, the one who's still here. Pretty wild. Carlos Rodon, 6 innings, 0 earned runs. Do we think that Carlos Rodon is back? No. 94 miles per hour. And I do like the fact that he's ramping up, but it's not quite the man I know from before. I feel like this is a little bit of blaming on the Marlins. I would still sell high here because it just does not feel like the guy that I throw out there every week and I just expect him to be dominant. And it's going to go back and forth and it's going to be more of a Holly at best. It's just strange with Carlos Rodon. Though I do like that he's adding cutters and changeups. He's trying to do a little bit more of the varied arsenal, but it's just not quite there. 24% CSW and 89 pitches. Ronaldo Lopez did exactly what he was supposed to do against the Mets. Got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Sweet. Curveball's working. 45% CSW. You love to see it. Sonny Gray returned, faced the Phillies, got the win. So still ill, because he went 64 pitches, but he still went 5 innings and got the win. That's pretty cool to see. Nicely done, Sonny Gray, and now you get Oakland, and you should be at 75 pitches plus, and that should be cool too. Ben Brown. Love the guy. He's a manager here at PitcherList. He runs the Nastiest Gifts team, and he's fantastic. But he's also the name of a pitcher for the Cubs. He started against the Padres for the first time. He came in relief before. He went 4.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. I was asked about Ben Brown earlier. Maybe I was going to add him to the list. He was not confirmed to be a starter. Also, he only threw about 50 pitches in his previous game. 77 was a little bit high, and more than I expected for Ben. This is obviously a good outing. And watching him, you see 96, 97 with this big hook. Like, obviously Nick is going to love him. Maybe? It's 5 over 51 whiffs on the four-seamer. And he is going upstairs, but it isn't the best shape. It's fine. It's not really... I mean, it relies mostly on the 96, right, to get by. But it's not something that I think of, like, Jared Jones or... with Luis Gil. It's not those kinds of overwhelming four-seamers. Then you throw in a curveball that did well here. It's not the greatest curveball I've ever seen. And it's just a two-pitch mix. So I don't feel like I need to run to the wire and get Ben Brown. Like, watching the game, I feel a little bit better. But I mean, he's more in control than I expected him to be. I still just feel a little bit weirded out by it. Like, there just isn't quite enough with Ben Brown. He also gets the Diamondbacks next. If you want to go for it, I do not blame you in the slightest. He's still not going to be fully stretched out. It's probably going to be like 5 innings if he's going all right. I just don't really think he's that does enough with everything. It's only 10 whiffs and 77 pitches, which isn't bad. It's like actually 14% swing strike or something along those lines. So I shouldn't say only, because that's a good, you'll take that all day, 14% swing strike rate. I guess I want something that is more defiantly fantastic, because all of these guys carry the shag rug, the young man's floor, which is very low, because rookies always have worse floors than veterans in general. So just be a little careful with Ben Brown. Martin Perez is a Vargas rule. It's pretty wild. And 8 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Did not get the win because Bednar messed it up. However, I do want to mention the guys that he has faced. That is the lineups. Marlins, Nationals, and now the Tigers. Martin Perez, yes, it's a Vargas rule. It's also a very good schedule that he's had. So, of course, he gets the Mets next because he just needs more help, clearly. Yeah, we're going to hold on for that one, but you don't have to do it for too long. And yeah, just treat this like a Vargas rule, which is where you keep going with the guy until he messes up or he has a bad match that they really want to avoid. And then you can just move on from there without thinking twice. Corbin Burnes, ace is going to ace. Looked like the SP number one. That's great. It's good to see that. Chris Bassett, 6.2 innings of 1 earned run. Yay. 8 strikeouts. Wow. 8 strikeouts. 9 base runners, 4 walks in there. Got the win against the Mariners. Kind of weird that the walks were present. He still got tons of cold strikes with the sinker. But, you know, everything is okay. It's great. This is why we are still holding on to Chris Bassett. That whip is weird, but it's all good. Nathan Eovaldi had a co-share of the Gallows pole with Tyler Glasnow, who earned a Golden Goal, because he also had a 48% CSW. 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts for Nathan Eovaldi against the Athletics. It's pretty cool to see that. It is Oakland, and, I mean, you were starting him anyway. You're going to start him in the next two as well, which is the Astros and Atlanta. I don't know. This feels like the calm before the storm, right? So I'm glad that we got this nice, lovely thing before it gets tough. But yeah, Nathan Eovaldi, he's working well right now, and I'm happy that he's healthy. Brian Bello against the Orioles, 5.1 innings of 1 earned run. He had, I believe, 2 unearned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He threw more sliders and changeups. And Brian Bello is a changeup guy. So I'm a little curious as to why that happened. It might have been just more, you know, aggressive like that against right-handers than he normally would. It is a harder one with more horizontal movement. And right, why that looks kind of weird is because sometimes there's a cutters involved in there that gets delegated as sliders as well with the movement profiles. All I'm trying to get at is it does look a little bit different than what we have seen, which was more of the cutter for Brian Bello recently. I'm curious to say the least, if this is going to be a major asset for him. I've kind of checked out of Bello becoming that big strikeout arm, and only 3 Ks here. But the fact that he is trusting the slider more is a good thing. It makes him more consistent start to start. And he won for the unearned runs. Like, I mean, the line that you get is still very good. Fortunately, he got a loss because, you know, Corbin Burnes and that unearned run, or the unearned runs, I should say. AJ Puck, if you haven't dropped them yet, you should. 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 5 walks, 2 Ks. He needs a better fastball that he doesn't have. He had it last year as a reliever. It's worse now with a different shape and everything. His sweeper isn't good enough, and the depth of the arsenal isn't there. And it's just, yep, we are moving on from AJ Puck. Yoan Adon was sent down after this one, and you are just 4 innings, 1 earned run, 72 pitches, and we just move on 2 whiffs. Joe Ross did his best Brady Singer impression against the Reds, got the win in Cincinnati, 6.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He had 10 for 43 slider whiffs and 8 for 35 called strikes on the sinker. That's the Brady Singer method. I'm glad this worked. Those sliders were good. I mean, he deserved those whiffs. Those were competitive sliders down in glove side. Like, those looked great. Did both to lefties and righties. I don't really think that he's going to get away with the sinker as much as he did here. I also don't think that the slider is going to be this amazing start to start. So I'm not really into this against the Padres next, but it could work. He's now in that could work territory, and that's a positive thing for Joe Ross at 87 pitches. Merrill Kelly was in Coors, and yep, he got a quality start. Actually, even better. I mean, 2 earned runs in 6 innings. I thought it was actually a very poor quality start. I forgot that the very poor quality start was the poor part, which is 1.5. It's the very part. 1.5 whip. Thank you. We had an extra V for every base runner over 9. And he had 9. I don't know what I'm saying. It's Merrill Kelly, guys. He did well against the Rockies because they're not that tough in cores, believe it or not. They are just still streamable there. All right, as I collect myself, there's a lot more guys to talk about from yesterday's games, including Christian Javier versus Cole Reagans. There's Aaron Civale, Casey Mize, and so many others. And of course, we'll talk about tomorrow's streaming options after this break. Christian Javier at the Royals, 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And what's so interesting to me is I keep saying, guys, that it's going to unlock. He's going to hit that other gear. And really understand that if he didn't have his changeup, this would be the destruction of 2023 right now, because he's not getting all the four-seamer whiffs. He's not getting all the slider dominance. Actually, the slider was a bigger impact yesterday. But that changeup is making it 200 runs. It's keeping batters at bay. It's helping him get through games properly without that elite command of his four-seamer yet. I think that's going to happen. He's established this baseline, and it just gets better from here. I'm a big fan of this for Christian Javier. Casey Mize, I've been in on, and it hasn't been this overwhelming success yet. Against the Pirates, who I don't know how good they are. It was 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and just 2 strikeouts, 7 whiffs, 20% CSW. Ugh, this isn't what we want from Casey Mize. He is throwing harder. So, last start, his first start of the year, Casey Mize, after in camp going 96, he was 94, 95. But he had excellent IVB, so that is vertical break on his 4-seam, which is great. And they also had a flat angle around 1-3, which is very good for height-adjusted VAA. Just think a good attack angle to soar upstairs. But he didn't really quite have either the command, and it didn't fully go his way. This one, he decided to get the velocity back, so 96, 97. He even improved his extension further, which is way elite now, and at the cost of a flatter attack, so it's 1.1, which is fine. It's like slightly above average, but it's not as beneficial. And also worse IVB, like pretty average IVB, like 15 to 16 inches as opposed to 17 to 18. So that's annoying. Really, though, both would work if he had better slider command. And that used to be the thing that Casey Mize had that brought him through games, was that slider was just his bread and butter, get strikes all the time, sometimes get whiffs, and he doesn't quite have it right now. So I think that that is going to return. He does get the Rangers next, and it's so frustrating. I say this all the time, of like, I just want one good start that is not against a tough matchup to take a chance on, like this one against the Pirates, but it wasn't good enough for me to say, like, yes, definitively go for the Rangers. I think that Casey Mize gets better with every start, though, so I think I'm still going to do it against the Rangers, but I understand your hesitation. Aaron Civale against the Angels got the win, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He allowed a 2-run homer in the first to Mike Trout. CSW's looking good. He honestly didn't even, he shouldn't have thrown that sinker, first of all. 2-2 count away. I don't know what you're trying to do. Don't do that. The curveball and the splitter didn't quite get low enough, but it's fine. Aaron Civale, we're still running with this one, of course. Alex Wood against Texas did not have the Blake Snell blueprint at all here. 4 innings, 200 runs. We move on. But it was 1 over 33 whiffs on changeups and sliders, and the sinker that was normally just up in the zone, inside the zone, but in the upper third, was just scattered, and it was weird, and no, I don't want to do this, but it's the Nationals next, but I still just kind of don't want to do that. Ugh. Zach Wheeler, ace is gonna ace. Yes, the velocity is a little bit down, but he has his command. It's great. His whip was 1 and 5 Ks. Like, 1 or run more than you want, sure, but Zach Wheeler just does this, and it's great. Kyle Harrison against the Nationals didn't really do everything you wanted, because it was 6 innings of 300 runs, but 5 hits, 0 walks, 8 Ks. And he had fantastic precision in this one. I'm used to Kyle Harrison really missing out of the zone up in arm side. And this one was in the zone all of the upper third. Like, so cool. I will always want just a little bit more out of the zone up, but I will take this all day from Kyle Harrison. He has really, really bad IVB. That is, it sinks so much, but he has a really good extension. And I think that counteracts it a decent amount. And he's decently flat too, so I'm just going to ignore that. But it is like really like 8 percentile vertical break, if not worse than that. He also went more change than curve. So Kyle Harrison normally was just 4-seamer like 70% of the time, then like 25% curveball last year, something like that. This was more change up involved than the curve, which is very interesting. If that does become a stable thing for him, that's good. but he missed it mostly arm side. He never got it low, but it was in the zone a good amount. It was just when it missed, it was arm side, and he never got it properly down. So I hope that he can turn into that four seamer upstairs, change up and curveball down. In the meantime, Kyle Harrison is still a cherry bomb to me. I really hope this is a showcase of the step forward that we can see this year in development for him. This is like the first time I really thought, oh man, wait, you had precision with four seamers. Like, you aren't the worst command thing ever now. Good. Cal Quantrill against the Diamondbacks. 6 innings, 300 runs. It was a poor quality start, and you should just be so happy with that because it's Cal Quantrill. Frankie Montas against the Brewers. Yeah, 5 innings, 300 runs. 7 base runners, 4 Ks. You had 2 over 47 whiffs on all non-fastballs. That's the slider and splitter. Ugh. And cutter. Frankie Montas was in Cincinnati and against the Brewers. And, like, he's a cherry bomb. Like, this is going to happen, and that's okay. Cole Reagans. You might know him. I watched everything in this because, of course, I do. He had 16 whiffs, but it was 5 innings of 300 runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He constantly was getting himself out of trouble and not always out of it. He got singled out a bit. He also didn't quite have his slider, and there were times he didn't have that extra pitch to really execute and shut guys down. It was a little frustrating to watch at times. It was just, oh, it wasn't quite there, and he gave opportunities for hits, right? He had 16 whiffs. But there were lots of those times that, 16 whiffs and 10 hits. There are a lot of those times that, yeah, he could have prevented those hits if he just put them away and gotten more strikeouts from that, right? Like, seeing 16 whiffs and 5 Ks is very odd. I should probably tell you all you really need to know here. Also, it was the Astros, and you could say this was an off night, really. There were some hits, too, that I'm just, you gotta be kidding me. Like, the Jeremy Pena stuff, was just, ugh, unreal. And he had, like, I'd say 1 or 2 that were actually, like, good drives. There was a Yordan Alvarez changeup that was a double to right center field that was down and out of the zone and, outside, like, middle out, that became a double to right center field. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, okay, that's the sequencing thing then, but that's stupid. And I hate this. This is what starting against the Astros means versus starting against, like, the Nationals, right? This is the difference, is that those good pitches can still get hit, and it's just the most frustrating thing. Anyway, Cole Reagans is dope and makes us feel dope, and he gets the Mets next at Citi Field on Sunday. No, I will not be there. But I'm still debating if I'm going to try to make it there on Saturday to say hi to the man. We'll see. Patrick Sandoval against the Rays. 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Yeah, no. He's not going to go 45% CSW on his sinker again. I don't believe that in the slightest. 5 over 22 whiffs as well. It just does not compute to me. So we are not touching the Irish Panda. Joe Musgrove went 4 innings of 0 earned run ball and then allowed a solo shot to Patrick Wisdom on the first pitch on a curveball that normally is just a called strike. And not Wisdom, I'm so sorry, Yan Gomes. And then, what was it? It was like a ridiculous single, a walk, and a hit by pitch, and then he got pulled from the game, and then it was a grand slam. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Joe Musgrove looked absurdly dominant, but this was one of those games where the line looked so much worse than he was. This was one of those neutral games that could have just gone either way. This could have been like 6 innings, 1 run. Seiya Suzuki went 3 for 3, and if you watch each of the pitches that he hit, like, one was a jammed sinker inside, one was a beautiful breaking ball down and away. Like, each of those is hits were just, what? Really? Are you kidding me? It was one of those days, guys. And Musgrove did not deserve this. He did not. 14 whiffs, 33% CSW, 85 pitches. Don't be worried about Joe Musgrove. There is something to be said about maybe being too reliant on secondary stuff and not being able to mix in cutters and fastballs well enough. But yeah, no, this should have been a better update, or not update, rather better outing for Musgrove. Michael Soroka just is not in the Toby lifestyle that we want him to be in or living. 3.2 innings of 4 runs against the Guardians. We can move on there. Adrian Hauser faced Atlanta and gave us a how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Of course he did, because it's Atlanta and he doesn't have a whiff pitch or anything like that. Logan Allen, unfortunately, 2 first names, and got singled out here against the White Sox. I do dig that he's actually trying to lean into his flat four-seamer, and he's throwing upstairs effectively It's just the other pitches didn't really help him that much here, but honestly, I think he just got singled out. He gets the Yankees next. That could work with what he's doing, but I'm just not going to go for it. You have George Kirby against the Jays. Not fun. Four innings of five earned runs, eight hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. Yeah, this is another bad start for George Kirby. Remember, his first one was so good, right? It's there. We know this. He got singled out a bit here, too. Four-seamer was not responsible. It was responsible for one of his eight hits. And to me, that's just, okay, cool. Lay off the sinker a little bit more. Figure that one out. The slider is being hung a little bit too much. The four-seamer not being the problem to me is, I think, all the good signs. Because if it was, then you go, oh, wait, hold on a second. That's what Kirby relies on. And if that's failing, then that is an issue. But because the four-seamer isn't allowing these hits, it's the other stuff, then you can probably manipulate those things and lean a little bit more into the heater, and that should work out well. Okay? Cool. And last but not least, it's, it's Louis Varland against the Dodgers. Five innings of six earned runs, seven hits, three walks, and six strikeouts. This was against the Dodgers. I do like his four-seamer still. I do like his slider and cutter, but he's got to command them better. It's that simple. He's getting them too low. He's going to make them too hittable. And until he embraces the Bailey Oberizzi method of actually going upstairs like Joe Ryan as well, these teammates should help him with it. He's not going to be that good. So you don't need to hoard Louis Varland. That said, I would go after his start against the Tigers because it's the Tigers. And he could just wake up out of nowhere there. If that was a middling to rough matchup, I probably would avoid it. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. I'm not really going to talk about today's games much anymore on this podcast. However, when there are updates, I will. So, for example, Carter Crawford is going today. It's not going to be a to-be-determined thing with the Red Sox. They're just pulling everyone up and then putting Cooper Criswell into the rotation later this week. And he's going against the Orioles in Fenway on Jackson Holliday's debut day. And I'm a little scared about it. I think I'm going to still put him in my lineups, but if you don't have to, honestly, it's okay to not start Carter Crawford in this one and just wait one out here. There's also to note, of course, Spencer Arrighetti making his MLB debut. I generally avoid MLB debuts. I think there's just too much involved with jitters. And in general, we don't know how long they're going to go for. We don't know if adrenaline's going to help them or hurt them. Now, about MLB debuts, I should mention, we have more information than ever before now. Like, Jared Jones, Jackson Job, Paul Skeens, Luis Heel. I mean, Luis Heel really isn't that, but those are guys that making their MLB debuts, we feel better about than your average guy. We have more information about them. We know what their skill set is, and we feel like they are going to dominate, right? They have that ceiling for that. So I'm likely going to be starting Skeens and Job in their MLB debuts unless it's a really, really bad matchup. Spencer Arrighetti doesn't have that same ceiling. So I'm going to be more tepid on this. Not to mention, you shouldn't feel like you need to get Arrighetti because he's going to go another start after this, which is Atlanta. And then Justin Verlander is going to return and Arrighetti is the one that gets ousted. So I don't feel I need to go after this for Arrighetti. I hope it goes well for him against the Royals. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll also talk about Jose Soriano, who's going instead of Griffin Canning, as Soriano is going to be replacing Chase Sosa's spot and Canning goes tomorrow. Friday. Soriano threw 43 pitches in relief in his last game. I don't know how long that means he's going to go in this one. He was stretched out in the spring, so they might just kind of overlook that and just say, yeah, you're ready to go 70 plus pitches. It's against the Rays, who are streamable. Soriano throws hard. He has a solid curveball, but also this is his first opportunity in this. There are a lot of reasons this wouldn't be a good fantasy matchup. And everyone else I have above is allowed to go six innings. I know that for a fact for their teams. So that's why Jose Soriano in today's update of the starting pitching rankings, that's why he is lower than the rest. All right. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have Pablo Lopez, Tarek Skubal, Freddy Peralta, Max Fried, and Grayson Rodriguez, all auto starts. I have Freddy Peralta in Cincinnati above Max Fried against the Mets because let's be honest, if you have Max Fried right now, you are feeling anxious. And if you have Freddy Peralta, you are not. So I do believe that Max Fried in a vacuum is better than Freddy Peralta against the Mets. But as of right now, I understand if you want to make that decision, go ahead. I don't blame you, but I think you're going to be fine. Jared Jones goes against the Phillies. I'm doing that because it's Jared Jones. On the other side of that is Ranger Suarez against the Pittsburgh Pirates. These are both probable starts. Suarez has a decent win chance. It is Yuri Jones on the other side, but the bullpen and everything, whatever. Ranger Suarez, good situation. That could work out well. John Gray gets the Oakland Athletics. I don't really like John Gray, but this could be fine. And Garrett Whitlock, it gets the Orioles. Just like I was talking about with Carter Crawford, it's just not a good situation. So he's at the bottom of probable start tier. And same thing with Hunter Brown, who was there yesterday. But of course, that got displaced because of Spencer Arrighetti. So here he is today. At the bottom of probable start for tomorrow's starts. That's yesterday, today, and tomorrow for the same guy. Hunter Brown tomorrow, Kansas City Royals, probable start against the Royals. He's a cherry bomb so far, and I want to think that he's getting better throughout the year. Brady Singer is on the other side of that, but he's in questionable start against the Astros, much tougher matchup, and I don't know how much we can really buy into that for Singer being that pitch quite yet. And in the do not start tier, it's JP Sears, Nick Martinez, and Luis Severino. Sears is my reluctant stream pick of the day because literally of these 11 guys above him, all of them are rostered in 20% of leagues, and JP Sears gets the Rangers. He could make it work if his four-seamer is upstairs and his secondary stuff is down. That's more than I can say about Nick Martinez and Luis Severino, especially Severino who goes against Atlanta. That is it for today. So thank you all so much for listening. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.